You're listening to Eye on the Ball with Steve Rivera. This podcast is a Bustos Media production on The Voice. Be sure to subscribe wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
Hey, welcome everybody to Eye on the Ball here on 1030 The Voice. I'm Steve Rivera, your host. In with me is my boy Ray. Ray, good afternoon.
Hey, man. Jeez.
Lots to talk about?
There's a lot to talk about. A lot going on right now.
In the world of the real world, in our world, accidents and things like that?
Oh, my gosh. Finally, the interstate's cleared off.
Oh, it's cleared? Good.
Well, I mean, it's not clear, but they got the accident off, and now it's going to start moving, so that's good.
Well, that's good. I can get to home later.
Yes.
I was going to go stay at your place.
Oh, you'd be lucky if I let you in, man.
How many times have I heard that, man? If I had a quarter for every time someone told me that. So today I was hoping to get Mohamed Tangara. Maybe he'll call in. Maybe he won't. We'll see if that happens. I've texted him. He was planning on coming down from Phoenix. He's in Phoenix. But I'm going to get Mr. Frankie Acosta at 6:30. He was at the U of A for a long time. I think moved away for a little bit, and now he's back with the Arizona Interscholastic. You probably know what the thing is. Arizona
Interscholastic Association.
Yeah.
They have a show on the station Saturday nights, 6 to 8.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, if you want to listen to high school sports and what's going on in the high school world, check it out Saturday nights.
But he's going to be on the show because he's holding an event with a lot of the alums this weekend, homecoming weekend, of course, with the football program going on.
Sure.
With Doc Hopkins, kind of like a reunion of a lot of Doc Hopkins guys. And I want to consider myself a Doc Hopkins guy because he's one of the good guys. And we'll reminisce about those days. He passed away not too long ago, three years ago. And they're doing a little golf outing, and they want you guys to participate. He'll give me some names. Maybe you'll like those names, and you might want to join them at the golf course. But lots going on. Did you see? Don't you wish you would have been a pretty good football player, basketball player, or any kind of NCAA player?
Yeah.
Well, guess what? You'll have to wait 4 years because apparently you're going to start to be able to get paid in 2023, maybe.
Dang, man, that's crazy.
Yeah, so the people that are going to benefit are the seniors now, the juniors now,
sure,
in high school, because right now it looks like the NCAA has approved for them to get paid from their likeness. They're not going to get paid by the school.
Sure.
So now you know what's going to happen? All these athletes are going to be marketing majors.
There you go.
Hey, get this for me because my picture's on it.
They're going to be like these 16-year-old people with podcast companies and stuff like that.
Right. There goes my job.
Yeah, right.
There goes my job.
But think about it. All these basketball players, you know, you don't see as much in the football world yet, but they have all these, they own their own media companies.
Right. Oh, you mean now?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, of
like
course.
Like the NBA players.
Mm-hmm. And LeBron, and so does Kobe and some of those guys.
Steph has a production company. Mm-hmm. I mean, think about it, man. What happens when this high schooler who's supposed to be amazing has his own production company and stuff like that in high school?
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Or in college, you know?
Well, I'm sure some of them have wealthy parents.
Sure.
Who could help them start that program off, and then they can do their own stuff when they get to the big time.
Sure, but if they make it, isn't it contingent upon them actually getting there?
Yes, and that they're popular.
Yeah,
and that's going to happen at all levels.
It's kind of a big gamble to a degree if you think about it.
From whom? The parents, you mean?
No, from people investing in these guys.
Sure, of course.
It's tough.
No. In fact, I was thinking about that not long ago. You know how everybody comes to school? Arizona is one of those schools where everyone comes here to think they're going to play in the NBA.
Yeah.
Oh, they all do. Maybe, you know, 9 out of 10 of them do.
Exactly.
Some of them aren't. They just kind of want to come here and be part of the team. But all of them want to be in the NBA. How does that work out? Maybe one or two?
Yeah, most of the time it doesn't.
Most of the time it doesn't. I don't know the percentage, but I want to say 2% of the people.
So who gets paid in the end? The people like Aiden, the people like
Trier, like Alkins. Well,
but then even with Alkins, he's a perfect case scenario where he's not playing in the NBA right now.
No. But I'm talking. But in this is college, so
sure,
if they sell their jersey, they'll sell their whatever, or they can get. Can they get endorsements?
I mean, I would assume from shoe companies and stuff.
Endorsements, and from what about local restaurants?
Who knows?
Come and eat at X restaurant because guess who eats here?
Raleigh Hawkins.
Well, Raleigh Hawkins.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is, like, in the end, who knows if that investment that you've made in that player will pay off?
No, no question. That's what the agents go through. Look, they invest. Hey, here's $10,000, but you got to guarantee that you're going to sign with me when you get out of that thing. And how many times does that work out? Not very often.
No,
not very often.
But when it does, you have a high return on investment, right?
If it when it no question.
So I mean,
no question. That's why they do it.
It's worth it in the end.
Yeah. That's why they do it. Yeah, because they get a nice percentage of whatever they make.
Probably the guys they're giving this money to. You know, if someone walked up to me and they said, "Here's 30 grand." That's 30 grand I don't have right now.
As a college player?
Yeah, as a college kid.
Oh, yeah, sure.
That age.
Sure. Yeah.
So think about it. If someone, you know, to anyone, that's a lot of money, you know, yes. For the most part. And so
people don't even give me $3.
Yeah, right? Me either.
30,000. Where are you coming up with this 30,000?
What I'm saying, you know, say it's 5,000.
Yeah, uh-huh.
It's a lot of money.
Oh, heck yeah, especially in college. That'll get you through a year or two.
Yeah. If you're lucky.
Yeah, if you're lucky. I agree. We'll see what happens. It looks like it's going to take effect in 2023, and you'll have a lot of people trying to get their name out, even at the smaller school level. Because if you live in some small school, I don't want to say Texas Tech or something like that, but you know what I'm saying. Some small school, and you're the guy.
Like San Diego State University, maybe?
Well, yeah, but San Diego State's too big of a place. I'm talking about like Tucson or Texas Tech,
sure.
Or, you know, where this is a one-horse town.
Sure.
And guess what? You are the star.
Yeah.
So like San Angelo, Texas or something, you know, where you, oh, I know that guy. He played here and he's now here and he's not going to be in the NBA, but you're the dude at the school.
That could be a situation.
Yeah.
Where they're going to get some money.
Right. And the school's not, it's not coming out of the school's pocket. It's going to be coming out of the merchandise pocket.
Sure. So this is kind of like the Olympic rule.
Right. We'll see what happens. I'm not for college players to be paid because there's not enough money. There's not enough money for people to go around and to pay the people. Because if you play a football player and a basketball player, guess what? Title IX, you'll have to play.
Yeah.
The women.
Yeah. Exactly.
So who's going to pay that?
Well, no. But this, again, like you said, isn't coming out of the school's pocket. So kind of avoids all the Title IX issues.
Exactly.
That's why they went this way.
Exactly. And then if you're a popular woman's athlete, you'll make money too.
That's true.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
If you're not, you won't. I mean.
Well, it's like, exactly. It's like Adia Barnes' group,
sure.
Who has now some star power.
Mm-hmm.
And the little girls are going to want to watch them play and have their little jerseys. They do really well. But guess what? Gotta wait 4 years. Doesn't count now.
Wow, man. But when's the when did the NCAA approve, or is it the NBA rather, approve it to where they can bypass college completely?
Oh, that hasn't. Oh,
doesn't that take effect next year?
I thought it was like 2021.
Okay.
2021. You gave me your radio voice right there.
Every now and then.
You do.
It happens.
That's cool. I wish I had a radio voice. I have kind of like, you know, I want to put you to sleep voice.
It's all right. Somebody can listen to you before they go to bed.
And not in a good way, like a Barry White. How you doing? So we'll see. I guess maybe Tanguera's not going to call, but we're going to get Frankie Acosta. There's a lot of things going on. In fact, Houston is leading Washington in game five, it is, right? Game five? 2-1 in the bottom of the third. I picked the Astros. Who didn't pick the Astros?
I don't want the Astros.
You tired of the Astros already?
Yeah, tired of them, man.
Who's your team? You don't have a team.
My team? I mean, I don't know. I'm a hopeless Diamondbacks fan.
Oh, good luck.
But
you haven't had a 2001. This year, mid-30s.
That's when we won 18, the World Series.
You're about 16.
I was 16, sophomore in high school. Yeah. And then 2007 is when we won the National League championship. And then that's basically it, right?
What a sad sports life.
I know. I don't even want to tell you the other teams I'm a fan of.
Because you're going to get into you, right?
Oh, man. It's sad, man.
It's like my kids. I don't want to tell you about my girlfriend's dad because you'll probably criticize them.
No, I mean, my family is, they're Jets fans.
Oh,
it's rough, man.
Good luck with you.
It's rough.
Well, no wonder. At least she's stepped up with the Diamondbacks.
Yeah. I mean, here's the thing, you know. when you live in Arizona, you don't really have a whole lot of options.
No question.
When it comes to professional sports.
That's why you go out of state.
That's right, man. I have to have my backup teams.
Who's your backup team?
Football? Basketball?
Baseball.
Baseball? I'd probably say the Mets, and which is rough, too.
Okay, you got there before I did.
And shoot, who's my other team that I like in baseball? I don't know. Right now, the Nationals. I hope they win, man.
Nice. Okay.
But I don't really have another team. In football, I like the Jets, the Colts, and the Cardinals.
So you don't watch football, apparently.
I mean, I watch football, but those are the teams I like.
Yeah. Well, you don't watch good football. Yeah. Hey, let's take a quick break before we go off track. And I know we already have.
Where are we?
Yeah, we're off track.
Let's get back on.
We're a train wreck. What are you talking about? 6:16 here on 10:30 The Voice. Hey, welcome back to Eye on the Ball here on 10:30 The Voice. I'm Steve Rivera, your host. And with me is my boy, Ray, my guy, Ray. Hey, you know what? It's Tuesday, and guess what we haven't talked about yet?
What's that? Tell me.
UA football.
Oh, man.
You don't want to get depressed, do you?
No, not really, but...
Well, big home...
Go ahead, man.
Homecoming.
We already talked about all the teams that I follow, so that's depressing enough.
This is... Yeah, if you need some medication, just here on my couch. You have my insurance? Do I have your... Take your insurance?
Yeah.
Yeah, it'll be like a $50 copay. That's
okay, yes.
So they have Oregon State. That's a winnable game.
Mm-hmm.
I think they'll be a little hyped on the defensive end because of obviously the changes.
You can only hope.
That's pretty much. And without hope, you cannot live very long. They have Chuck Cecil coming in. And we'll see what happens. I think there's a winnable game. I think a lot of people think it is. I haven't seen the line, but I would assume that Arizona is going to be favorite. Arizona could get to 5 wins here, maybe pull off another one, get to a possible bowl. But, you know, of course, you have to be invited to attend. So just because you win 6 doesn't mean you're actually going to be in. You just qualify for the bowl game. Do you think this is a dumb question? Maybe anybody wants to call in, please do 790-2040. This will be the last of the let goes of the firings?
I don't think so.
No, not at some point in the next few months. I don't think so either. Arizona's favored by 5.5?
I guess. Yeah.
Yeah. No, that's not it.
Different one?
Arizona is 5-5 against the spread.
Oh, yeah.
Arizona against the spread, 5. No, it's 5.5. It's 5.5. Yeah. They open at 6. Okay. Over and under 71. I take that under. So their favorite. 5.5. I think I would. What would I do with that? Let's see here. And I'm horrible about this. So this disclaimer. Listen to me.
You're not the betting advice guy?
No, not this year or any time recently. But 5.5, I would probably give and take. If I were Oregon State, I would take the 5.5 and see what happens. But Arizona is at home. That helps.
Yeah.
Who plays better at quarterback? I think that Gunnell's probably starting to slowly take over, don't you think?
Sure, why not? Because, I mean, Tate's gone next year.
What's the point now, right?
Yeah.
What's the point?
Give him more reps. The more reps he has, the better.
In a winnable game? Possible winnable game? At what point do you say, I've had enough of Khalil Tate?
I don't know, man.
Last year?
I
think you give him a shot. He's had his chances. I mean, you can't say, well, we didn't give him his chances.
It's true.
So we'll see. The good thing about it, and I haven't been there a whole heck of a lot this year because, one, they haven't played a whole lot of games here. The podium, you really don't get to see him much. But I have to say that I do applaud Khalil in terms of how he's handled the losses. Been very good, at least better than last year. Shown signs of showing maturity.
Yeah, I mean, it's a tough thing, man. To be someone that's in the spotlight like that.
Oh yeah, sure. But if all your life, and this is not to Khalil specifically, and I've covered games for about 35 years of my life. If all your life you've played sports, and most of that life you've had people like me asking you questions after wins, after losses, don't you think you'd be prepared for the after wins and after losses moment?
Yeah. You would think.
And I get it. Rich Rod, and I did a number of stories on Rich Rod being kind of like a malcontent pain in the neck when he lost. And obviously a lot of people are like that. But I still believe, and I still believe this, and you may or may not agree with me, but you can call in if you do or you don't. Well, if you don't know how to lose, if you don't know how to win, you shouldn't know how to lose, or whatever that phrase is, because you should learn know how to do both. If you be a good loser, you better be a good winner. So, or a big winner, be a loser.
You know, as someone in the media, what do you think that the players and the coaches owe you, you know?
Good question. In terms of being availability and all that stuff?
Yeah.
I think they should answer the questions. Some of our questions are dumb as heck. Yes, but we also have to go there because it's part of the story to get emotion, to get how you feel. You know, it's like, you know, Ray, you just lost 70-7. How do you feel in this moment?
Sure.
It's a dumb question, but we don't know how you feel.
Yeah, I mean,
you know, we don't know how you feel. Well, it hurts or it pains or I expected it. You know, that's part of the story.
So what do you think the difference is between a college coach or player versus a professional coach or player when it comes to the media?
Good question. Well, let's exclude the player for a second.
Sure.
College and pro, college makes, this guy makes $2.5 million. Other people make a lot more than that. You're obligated to answer the questions. You get paid a lot to do this.
Sure.
To stand in the this is a big boy league, as people like to say. What's the big deal? Do you make a lot of money?
Yeah.
You have a cushion called lots of money.
But I'm thinking in terms of, like, you know, a college is someone who's a coach for a public institution,
mm-hmm.
versus an NBA coach or a, you know, NFL coaches for a, you know, private sports team.
Oh, yeah, yeah. But you have better court, better and more available coaches at the NBA level, or at the
that's
pro
true.
Level, because that's maybe except for Belichick or whatever. But yeah. he is who he is. That's who he is. And then you kind of play into that. But the rest of them are pretty good. Not all of them, because they lose and then they get pissy or whatever.
Like anyone would.
Yeah, exactly. And you can allow for that. But guess what? That's part of the story, too.
Sure.
How he says things.
He was annoying. He was annoyed.
Exactly. It's your job to tell that story. And TVs do that exactly right, because you guess what you saw? Him being annoyed at dumb questions. I saw one yesterday. Some guy asked a dumb question. He responded, what would you think? You know, what would you do? What would you do? Blah, blah, blah. Well, that's part of the story. But it's not the job of the writer or the journalist to answer that question.
No, it's yours.
It's yours, right.
You know who's good at the pressers is Steve Kerr is really good at them.
Fantastic.
I mean, but he's been on the other side of the mic, so I think that helps.
His biggest thing is he's a very bright man.
That's true.
Very bright man. He doesn't take his life seriously. And he knows there he's got his flaws or whatever. He's not full of himself, and he just does the job.
True.
But I do agree with you. He's been on the other side of the mic. He understands that side of it.
Which probably makes it a little bit easier.
Yes, that I do. But I think what he does, he's got great perspective on life, and you don't have to be a jerk all the time.
Yeah.
That was the one thing I hated going. I hated doing Major League Baseball and going to spring training when I was a kid, and that was my dream of doing it. I lived in Dallas when I worked at the Dallas Morning News and kind of go to the ballpark, and I hated going to the Texas Rangers. I was 23 years old, and a lot of the guys were jerks.
Yeah.
And people think, oh, you have a great job. Not exactly.
That's why they say never meet your heroes.
You're exactly right. You're exactly right. In fact, I had a show like that in another station a while back. Is who would you want to meet? Only to find out he's a jerk.
No one. I mean, I honestly don't want to meet anybody. I'd rather not.
Just to have that fantasy?
Yeah, well, not because I just don't want to. Personally, when I see someone that's famous out there, I'm just like, look, let them be. Because if I were in their shoes, I wouldn't want that. Number one, because they probably get it enough.
Who would you want to meet?
Who would I want to meet and find out that they're not a jerk?
No, just who would you want to meet?
I don't know. I really don't want to meet anyone, honestly. Just because I don't want to have that realization that they're a jerk.
Right. Because you know that's a good possibility.
Yeah. Well, I know it's most likely the possibility, and so I've put it out of my mind, you know?
Yeah, that's any smart of you. It. That's smart of you. And you're a fan, right? You're a sports fan?
Yeah, I like sports. I do, yeah.
My guy was Pete Rose.
Okay.
Who I, you know, I have stuff. Yeah, exactly. Who I have stuff in my room, Pete Rose. I loved how he played when I was a kid. I was a Cincinnati Red fan, yada, yada. And then the guy's a jerk.
Yeah, turns out he's not a very nice dude.
He's down in just his attitude,
like,
too.
Okay, so say what if you met, like, Peyton Manning? I think he'd be a cool
fantastic
guy to meet.
Fantastic. I met Jim Abbott. I did a story on Jim Abbott. Remember Jim Abbott?
I don't.
You don't? The one, he pitched with the one arm?
Yeah.
With the California Angels. Did a story on him. Fantastic story. Very humble, very good guy. And look at his limitations. And he made it to the major leagues. You know how many people make it to the major leagues? Not very many.
They don't.
This dude had one arm, or like, you know, half an arm. And
crazy.
It was unbelievable. The next guy was Rod Carew. Fantastic guy. There's a lot of great guys.
In anything there are.
Oh, you are right.
Being in this station, I've met so many politicians. And I tell you, you know, there's some that are good, and you wouldn't think it based on how they are on TV and stuff. And there's some that are just jerks, and you would think that they'd be great people.
Right. Well, when the cameras are on or off,
yeah,
that makes a difference.
Changes everything.
Changes everything. Right. I'm just kind of ugly and with or without the cameras.
So you're used to just being nice to make up for it?
Yeah. You have to learn how to compensate, man. You got to learn how to compensate.
It's part of life.
Oh, but man. your attitude is exactly right. Why go out of your way to meet these people only to find out that they're probably not the guy you hope they were?
I don't want to. I was at a concert one time, was standing there, and this guy was signing autographs, and I accidentally was in line, and he was nice, but I didn't want to meet him.
Oh, okay. You can say who it was?
No one would know who it was. Smaller artist.
See, so. Okay, sure. Like Billy Joel or something. Okay, let's take a quick break here, get Frankie Acosta on the other side. Hey, welcome to Eye on the Ball here on 1030 The Voice. I'm your host, Steve Rivera, and let's go to the phone line now. We have Frankie Acosta. How are you, Frankie?
Hey, good evening. How you doing, Steve?
Fine, thank you. Good to have you on the show. Good to see that you're doing okay. You're back in the state of Arizona.
Oh, yeah. You know, I got back a few years ago, now just working real involved with the AIA and high school sports and finding corporate partners that want to support it.
It's fantastic. Yeah, my guy Ray was telling me that we have some of your stuff on our program. I mean, that's great.
Correct. A couple of our AZ Preps 365 radio show, and we've been working with Ray in the station for a while. And like I said, you know, we're real excited about the high school sports here in Arizona, and I'm proud to be a part of it.
Let me kind of introduce you to the one listener I have here or so. You were at U of A for a long time. You were an AD in the department of the athletic department. What did you do, and for how long did you do it?
That's a great question, and it's hard to believe that it's been that long. But, you know, as you know, I played baseball there from 91 to 95. And then as I graduated in 95, I got a job as a graduate assistant working for Dr. Gail Hopkins within the athletic department. A year after that GA ship, I started working as an event coordinator, program coordinator, director, working up as to an assistant athletic director in charge of our Arizona Letter Winners and the A Club. So I was kind of like the alumni association just for athletics. And for 22 years, from 1990 till 2012, I walked in and out of McHale Center either as a student athlete or an employee.
That must have been a great job.
You know what? It was great. It was good to see the athletes come through there, the student athletes. It was great to be a part of that. I mean, the tradition, the heritage, it's something that I'll always cherish. Obviously, I went to school there, but I was, lucky enough to get a couple of degrees, my undergrad and my master's, and just the friendships I made, the experience, learning from the best, learning how to be a professional, learning how to be a father, learning how to be a friend, learning how to be a good teammate. All that came from my experience at the U of A. And then there's so many people that there I could thank, but, the list just goes on and on.
Let me tell you, too, I've had Cedric Dempsey on here a few times. I've had Rocky LaRose here a few times. Some of the greatest people that I know have been in, Kendrea, Bush, Coach Bush, Rubio. These guys are just fantastic. You worked there during, I like to call, the glory days of UA sports. I don't know if you feel that way, but that's how I call it. What do you call it?
You know what? I'd say it kind of was the glory days. I think that's when it took that next step. Jim Livengood was the athletic director there. He was the one that actually hired me and Dr. Gail Hopkins. I would think so. I would think at that time, baseball was pretty solid, had a pretty good track record there in the 70s and early 80s. But then really in that late 80s, early 90s, you could see, basketball, Lute Olson taking that next step. You could see Dick Tomey and the Desert Swarm defense starting to make that national presence. That's the time where Kendrea started that run with softball. You know, there are a couple of golf championships in there. Frank Bush did a remarkable job with the swimming program. And I'd say probably in that decade of the 90s, I mean, it was something really special. And as I mentioned earlier, just looking at the athletes that came through there and being a part of it was something that I'll always treasure.
And let me break some news to you. It's not the same. It's just not the same like the good old days. But that's for another story another time.
Oh, yeah, it is.
But so I'll make sure I get you on speed dial on that show. But let me tell you, you worked for one of the greatest guys I've met, one of the kindest guys I've ever met in Doc Hopkins.
He was something special. He was a mentor, just not to me, but to everybody. And it didn't matter what sport you played. It didn't matter where you came from. It didn't matter, you know, if you're African-American, Hispanic, Anglo. You know what? He cared about one thing. He cared about the student-athletes. He cared about you getting an education. Yes, he loves to see us compete. Yes, he loved to see us, you know, have plenty of success on the field, on the, you know, court, in the pool, whatever it might be. You know, he wanted to see that success. He loved competition. But the one thing Doc Hop cared about more than anything was making sure young student athletes got their education, you know, and that's what, you know, really made him special, because he truly cared about that experience at the U of A. The things he did there and the things that he was responsible for, you know, there's so many athletes that, and I can't name them all, but so many athletes that would, you know, just back every word I'm saying right now.
Yeah, no question. In fact, you're going to have a few this weekend. Tell me what's a big deal, a golf outing in town just in time for homecoming.
Correct. As we talked about a little earlier, you know, as when I was working within the athletic department, we used to have a homecoming golf tournament every Friday, but before homecoming. And a couple of years ago, the athletic department, you know, quit doing that. You know, they want to focus their attention on some other things, which is totally fine. And then last year was brought to my attention, you know, some of the letter winners came to me and said, Frankie, you know, let's go on again and let's play some golf. And it was about 2 weeks before homecoming, but I managed to get a couple of foursomes together at Omni Tucson National, and we got together. There was about 25, 28 of us there. We just kind of played just a little golf out and had fun, joked amongst ourselves, old baseball players, a couple of football players, whatnot. And then as we sat around having some cocktails afterwards, we said, you know what, we need to do this every year. And then it came to mind, you know, and I brought it up to everybody. I said, you know what, let's do this every year, but let's recognize Dr. Hopkins. You know, that is something that the athletic department, I don't think, has done a really good job of, is recognizing him and what he meant to us former athletes. And so we decided to start the inaugural Doc Hop Homecoming Golf Tournament this year. And right now, I'm actually working on it right now. We have about 78 former letter winners coming back into town just to play in this tournament. And it is at La Paloma. At noon on Friday, and I mean, we're looking for a good time. I mean, it's just about reconnecting. It's about you know, telling those old war stories, and obviously, it's about recognizing, as I mentioned earlier, a gentleman, Dr. Gale Hopkins, and all he meant. You know, we are going to try to raise a little bit of money for the Black Alumni Club, something that Doc Hop felt very passionate about. You know, and something that we could do to try to help, just regular students at the U of A continue their education, because that's what he would have wanted.
Yeah, no question. And he was always on that, like you talked about earlier. So throw me a big name or two. And you're probably having or needing some other spots to be filled. Are you full?
We are not full. I mean, obviously, you know, we were trying just to double up our efforts from last year. Like I said, last year we had about 25, 28 golfers. I was thinking if we got to 50 or 60, that would be a home run. And, you know, sorry for using the baseball terms. But, we hit it out of the park. I mean, we got 78 guys coming back. Jason Terry is going to be in town.
Oh, super.
He's coming back to be a part of this. Obviously, we got the Ricky Hundleys and some former football players coming back into town. So it's special. Gil Heredia, you know, former big league pitcher, is going to be there playing. You know, and then but it's really not the names. It's just about the letter winners coming back. You know, that is one thing that Doc Hop always kind of stressed to me, was that it doesn't matter that if you if you're playing on Sundays or if you're playing in the major leagues or whatever. It's all of us wore the same colors. All of us went through the same process. All of us are Arizona letter winners, you know, and these guys coming back and I guess the big names, as you would put it. I mean, we're all the same, you know, and like I said, we're all there just to enjoy each other's company, you know, reminisce a little bit about the glory days. And like I said, just recognize Doc.
That's the essence of this show here, the glory days. In fact, you'll probably see or hear a few stories that are true or that are true kind of, because they've probably been embellished a few times.
Oh, yeah. That's the best part about it.
So tell me, if you have some spots open, how can people get in this?
You know, I say just, reach out to me. Yeah, shoot me a quick email. My email address is azacosta, A-Z-A-C-O-S-T-A, 23@gmail.com. So it's, pretty easy, azacosta23 @gmail.com. And, we still got time to sign people up if you want to be a part of it. But, it's great. I love where, where we've come after a year. I've already talked to a lot of letter runners, that plan on coming back next year and in the years past. So we're going to continue to grow this, and we're going to take that next step and really blow this out here in the future.
So let me ask you, so they don't have to be, the ones that are going to reach out to you, don't have to be ex-athletes. They could be just anybody?
Correct. I mean, if you're a friend of Doc Hops, and I know that there's a lot of community leaders, that knew him, and he did a lot for, the alumni in Santa Cruz County, the Tucson alums, right now at this time, we just want people that want to support our efforts, recognizing Dr. Gale Hopkins and just coming out and enjoying just a friendly day of golf.
Yeah, so, no, that's good. I was going to say, and possibly get to rub elbows with some greats. I mean, Jason Terry, come on, that's cool. You have Ricky Hundley, he's going to be around?
Correct, Ricky Hundley. I mean, Byron Evans is going to be there. Glenn Parker's, signed up to play for Gil Heredia. So, I mean, we got the, former golf coach Rick LaRose is going to be out there. So, I know everyone's going to want to play in that group because he's got a lot of stories, and believe me, he knows how to hit a golf ball.
Yeah, no question. And let me ask you before we go to break here, your best time here, because like I said, you were right in the heart of a lot of things, the NCAA title in 97, some Desert Swarm stuff. Your best moments, couple?
No, my best moments are probably going to be that the victory that we had against Washington. Tony Bowie was a safety on that Desert Swarm defense. He was also a member of the baseball team. So a lot of us baseball guys were actually, really invested in watching him succeed out there on the field. And that is a memory that always kind of stands in my mind. Obviously, that 97 championship run. Watching those guys. I mean, it was unbelievable. As a matter of fact, A.J. Brown was also coming down here this weekend, and A.J. Brown and I work closely together now. And,
yes.
Seeing those basketball teams take that next step was something real exciting. But it was so much more. It was so much, something Marissa Baena eagling out to win the women's golf championship. That was something that's, you can't draw that up any better. And as I mentioned earlier, I mean, so much success in the pool, seeing so many great athletes, just being able to talk to them and just, be a part of it. Something, like I said, truly special.
And back in the day, not to rip what's going on today, but back in the day, you guys were regulars in the top 25 of the Sears Cup.
Right, top 25. I'd say we were regular in the top 10.
Top 10, no question.
I mean, we got as high as 4 one time, and I think that's just kind of the health of the athletic department at that time. I mean, it was very healthy. I think it was everybody was kind of pulling the rope in the same direction. We had great leadership. We had some great coaches. And that's where it all starts. I mean, it all starts with the leadership, and it all starts with the coaches. And I think the success was right there. All you got to do is, look at those Sear Cup standings and see where we were at. And we were always right around that top 10, if not in it.
Right. No question. Well, hey, we got to have you back another time. And we talk sports again. I love talking sports with anybody, especially people who have great stories from the back in the day. We didn't even get into any stories.
Well, and there's a lot of them. and you mentioned that earlier. I could talk on and on about this. But, anytime you want to, talk U of A sports or talk just a little bit about the history and traditions back there, hey, I'm all ears.
Okay.
I'm ready for that conversation.
Great. Good luck this weekend at where again? Where are you playing?
La Paloma. We play La Paloma. We tee off shotgun start at noon on Friday.
Great weather, apparently. And give me your email one more time.
Email is azacosta23, A-Z-A-C-O-S-T-A 23 @gmail.com.
You're going to have a great time. Thank you, Frankie. Appreciate it.
Hey, thank you, sir. Appreciate it. Good luck and have a great evening.
Great. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Bye-bye.
That was Frankie Acosta, former UA baseball player, UA administrator, and under the guise of Jim Livengood and, of course, Doc Hopkins. Let's take a quick break here on 1030 The Voice. Hey, welcome back to Eye on the Ball here on 1030 The Voice. I'm your host, Steve Rivera. In with me is my boy, Ray. I was going to say that the Astros are now 2-1 in the top of the fifth. There was something I want to say. Oh, have you been paying attention to? I know you haven't because, God, this, if you do, I'll be ashamed that you do. The NBA, we talked a little about this yesterday, did we?
Yeah, I was score checking the Suns last night.
Did you see that? They did it again.
I know, the Jazz, man.
They had them.
So close.
They could realistically be 4-0.
I know.
I think it's 4-0. They're 2-2 right now.
Yeah,
right?
They are.
They had the Jazz on the ropes.
They did.
And then they had, which is a good team.
Yeah.
And they had Denver. They had Denver beat.
Yeah.
And they couldn't pull it off.
They didn't do it.
Without Ayton and some guys, they could be easily 4-0.
I know, man. It's crazy.
It is crazy. The apocalypse is going to happen.
It's happened, yeah.
It's going to happen.
Watch out. You got your stuff ready? You prepping, man?
I'm going to go and do some bad sins because it doesn't really matter after this.
Sheesh. No, I mean, it's crazy. I'm astonished because everyone kind of assumed that they were just going to be the regular Suns again.
Let's say this. This is not a great sample size for games.
No, it's not. But
heck.
Take what you can get, man.
Exactly.
And here's the other thing, too, because I was looking at the scores.
Yeah.
It's like they spread it out quite a bit. You know, not everyone.
Oh, yeah.
There wasn't like three players that were in the upper 20s.
Booker didn't have 70 and the rest 10?
No, exactly. Yeah. But it seems like the bench was helping out a little bit with Frank there helping a little bit. I don't like to admit that because I'm still a little angry at Frank. But you know, and then you've got other players that are contributors, and it's kind of nice to see the whole team actually winning.
I'm very surprised because the two teams they lost to, and they beat the Clippers. So it's unbelievable. Not unbelievable is a strong word, but still. They had Utah on the ropes, which is a good team, and they had Denver on the ropes, which is a good team.
Both good teams.
Yes.
And they beat the Clippers.
Williams coach, heck of a good coach. Heck of a smart guy.
He sounds like it.
Yeah. Yeah, in college, he was one of the smarter guys in the college game at his time.
Where did he play?
I want to say Maryland, but I could be wrong. I do remember writing a couple stories about him when I worked for SI at the time. So we have a caller?
Yeah.
Was that not a butt dial?
No, it wasn't.
Hey, Scott, thanks for calling.
Hey, what's going on? How are you doing?
Fine, Scott. How are you?
I'm pretty good, pretty good.
What's the word?
Not much. I'm definitely excited about the Suns this year. Looks like they have with the updated roster, a good young talent that they could get more than 30 wins this year.
Yeah, which would be unbelievable because what, they won 18, 17 last year, something like that?
Exactly.
Yeah. No, Scott, I totally agree. I mean, I've been very impressed, and you know, sorry to see that DeAndre suffered what he did, but you know that's on DeAndre. But they're playing well without him, and obviously don't need him as much.
Yeah, I don't know if Aiden and Trey are going to the same doctor, but maybe they should get some other help in that regard.
Well,
yeah, I just want to touch base quickly on the football and
yes, please.
Unfortunate the football season's kind of ending up where it's going. Hopefully they can still get a bowl game. I think the getting rid of the defensive coordinator was just they had to do something to save face. And although the defense hasn't been playing the best when you're on the field the whole game because the offense isn't getting enough positive yardage, it's kind of tough for the defense to keep holding it, especially in the second half of games. So I don't really fault the defense for a lot of the issues with the team this year.
Yeah, no question. In fact, I was wondering when you'd call because you're kind of you're not critical, but you're critical on certain things. And this change, I think it was not a question of if, it was a question of when. And I wouldn't be surprised if we see other shoes drop in the next few months.
Yeah. But my bigger concern is I have season tickets for the football team, and I do have tickets for the women's basketball. And I got a call today from the ticket office about if I have any questions about the remaining games of the season or any questions or comments about the season, and maybe if I can spend more money on some better tickets or whatever. But I've been trying to reach out about getting better season tickets for the women's team because I kind of just got the general ones. I've been requesting to have reserve seats, but I requested again if they're doing it today, and they're still not reserving any more women's tickets. And now that they're ranked and there's a lot of momentum, kind of unfortunate the athletic department is not getting behind the women's hoops and the surge of support that they're having. And preventing more seats available for people willing to spend more money on the athletic department, especially for a women's sports team that's doing very well.
What kind of explanation were you given?
Well, the last time I asked, because I asked on another show, and they asked Dave Hinkie, and he said that it's more than just opening up seats. They have to open up a section, and then it's like a bigger ordeal than just getting extra seats. But I don't see what the issue is. If you have a season ticket and it says that's your seat, then I don't think there's a big issue, even if it is general admission for the other seats. But I'm willing to spend more money on the women's program. I love the projection of the team and Adia Barnes. And if people are willing to spend money, I don't see why the athletic department would ever say no to money.
I don't disagree with you, especially at a time when they need it.
And especially when it's the love story of Tucson in sports with the women's team, with all the issues with the football team and maybe the basketball off-the-court scandals and that kind of stuff, when there's someone returning back who was a standout player and to bring the team back to being ranked the first time in 15 years, and the community is asking for the opportunity to spend money on the team. I've been requesting for a couple times. I've done Twitter, reached out to Dave Hickey himself and Adia Barnes, and trying to support the Lady Cats, but it doesn't seem like it's going to happen this year. It seems like they kind of maxed out what they're willing to do for the women, which is unfortunate.
Really? So what are you saying? That you're not going to be able to go? You're not going to go?
No, I'm definitely going to go. I was requesting to pay more money to get reserve seats, because it's how they do it with the women's team, is that it's kind of a general admission.
Right, right.
And they maybe have like 500 or 1,000 seats that are reserve seats for season ticket holders, but after that it's kind of a first-come, first-served basis. I'm just saying that I'm willing to spend more money to get a reserve seat and upgrade my ticket.
And they won't do it.
They won't do it, and they're not going to do it. So it's just kind of unfortunate.
Makes no sense, but you're talking about Arizona, so I get it. I totally get it.
Yeah, but the thing is with me, but then they'll call me about the football team and try to get money through football, but I'm actively yelling at them, I want to spend money on the women's, and it's a deaf ear.
Right, right, right. So you're okay with the firing, you're okay with the team, you've been pretty optimistic about the football team.
I think it's pretty good. To be honest, when Selman came here, I felt like the game plan he brought in with the talent that we had with taking stuff and trying to make him a pocket passer was unfortunate, but kind of is what it is at this point, and they're trying to make the best with it. I don't really like the dual quarterback situation they're going with. I think they should just go full pedal with it, the next guy up, and unfortunately for Tate, it didn't work out. But
right.
The back and forth's not helping anyone, and I know it's a senior year, but when you bring in the other guy, you kind of open up those bag of worms. And when he throws 7-for-7 in a touchdown pass and then you pull him, I don't know how you can do that.
Right, right, right. Well, he's getting paid the big bucks to make these decisions. We'll see if it continues to make bad or good decisions down the road. Thanks, Scott.
That's how it works. It's a results-driven job, right?
No question. Hey, aren't it? Most of them? Aren't all of them? Hey, Scott.
Sometimes.
Thanks for calling in. I appreciate it. Always call in.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. That was Scott, one of my regular callers. I hadn't heard from Scott in a while. He's the one that won the tickets for the home game against Washington, I think it was.
Nice.
Center seats, I think he had a good time. I think the team, I know the team lost, so I'm sure that, didn't...
Put a little bit of a damper on it, but hey, you know what? Better than nothing.
Yeah, better than nothing. Right, right, right. So do you go to the games?
Sometimes.
Sometimes?
You know, I went to a game, the last game, the last home game. Some friends and I went.
The Washington game?
Yeah.
Yeah. So you stay the whole time?
No, we left in the third quarter.
So you're
we were tired.
Look at you young guys.
Hey, 30 is, that's old enough, right? That's old enough to justify going home.
They were getting beat at the time, I'm sure. You can see the
writing on the wall.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
It was pretty much over.
They had to use it in chalk because they had to cross out and add more points to the opposing team.
Exactly.
Yeah, we'll see. Are you going this weekend?
Probably not.
Probably not. It's an early game.
1:30 kickoff.
1:30?
So probably not going to go. But that's just because it's the weekend. I got stuff to do, you know.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Honeydews? Yeah, my butt. You're just going to kind of watch other games. Watch other games.
Oh, man.
Yeah, I'm not sure if I'm going. I might. It's a big race day. It's a Breeders' Cup day.
Nice.
Saturday, so I'm sure Baffert has a horse or two. Or I haven't decided yet what I'm going to do.
Well, you know, You're the one that has to make that decision. Yes. You're the one that gets to talk about it.
Yes, I could talk about
Monday.
It. Yeah, really. So now the Washington Generals, Washington Nationals, 3-2, right? They're up.
Yeah, they're up.
In the fifth.
That's right.
We'll see what happens.
I hope they win, man.
I'm rushing home right now. Good to talk to you, Ray. Thank you.
You too, man. All right, see you. Take care.